would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and then also Numbers chapter 30. Ephesians chapter 5 and Numbers chapter 30. Okay. It went back out again. All right. We're working on trying to get that fixed. But this is working? That's not working either.
No, the photograph's not going.
All right, that's fine. All right.
I'm not picking up anything in here because we had it all the way down before.
Okay. All right. I'll be all right. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm also going to look at Numbers chapter number 30. We're going to kind of continue where we picked up last week. We're talking about the wife submit to her husband, and specifically submit to her husband in everything. And that's where we're going to look at this one verse here and continue in. And we looked at last week the fact that it was very important for a wife to do that for many reasons. One was so that she could win her husband. We looked at that over in the book of 1 Peter. And if her husband's backslidden or if he's not doing right or living right, it's very convicting for a wife to do right and to submit and to obey. And we're going to go a little bit more into detail of that tonight. But we also talked about being an example to her children, being an example to others around her. And so by submitting to your husband in everything, you're showing your children and teaching them how to be in subjection. And then as they grow older and as God begins to speak to them, they'll know how to respond to authority. And so we looked at that. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 24 is where we'll pick up tonight. And then we're going to go to Numbers chapter 30 and look at some examples of this truth. All right, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 24. We're talking about the wives submitting to their husbands. We see that verse number 22. Verse number 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, it's the example given to the wives. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And before I go any further, before I forget, I had a praise tonight. My wife and I have been married for 14 years today. Today's our anniversary, and I'm very thankful for her, and I love her. And I think I'm going to keep her for another 14 years if I can, Brother Jeff, if you don't mind. But,
you almost forgot. You better stop her.
No, I didn't forget. And I did what every respectable husband does for their wife on an anniversary. I bought her a new vacuum cleaner. And it was broke. I said, you got to pick it up and sweep. Don't sweep itself. Amen. No, I'm just joking. But I got one of them robotic vacuum cleaners, and it didn't work, so we got to send it back and get another one. But it'll be here on the 15th. But no, we've been married for 14 years today is our anniversary, and I'm so thankful for her. And God has blessed us tremendously.
Amen.
And I know I am one blessed man. I am. I'm not just saying that because she's sitting here. I am. I thank God for her. I couldn't ask for a better wife or a mother for our children. So, all right. Well, now that that's recorded, I hope that get recorded. All right. So, back to preaching about the wives. So listen up there. All right. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. All right. And verse 24, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. All right, so whenever you teach on this subject and you talk about submitting in everything, people automatically want to put a clause on the end of that verse. You know, some verses in your Bible will have a statement, and then there will be parentheses, and it will have a clarification or something that it says in the text. And here there is none of those. It does not say to submit to your husband, to wives be to their own husbands in everything, be subject unto your husbands. In everything, it doesn't have parentheses, only if he does what he's supposed to. That's not in there. And only if, he's doing right or he asks you to do something right. And this is a very, very controversial subject when it comes to obeying and everything. But I believe the Bible gives us some examples of this. Go over to Numbers chapter 30. And again, I said last week, as we're studying through here, I'm going to show you a few different examples in the Bible. But if you do not submit to your husband in everything, then God cannot deal with him like he needs to because you're not under his submission.
Yeah.
And you say, I don't understand that completely. We have the umbrella illustration a few weeks ago, and I'll get over to my chart. I have it on the side there in case we get to it tonight. But that umbrella of protection in your life, your husband's there. And if God wants to deal with your home, He's going to deal with your husband. But if you remove yourself from underneath the authority of your husband, then God deals directly with you, and He can't deal with your husband on keeping the home in order because you're not in order. You say, I want God to get my husband. Okay, submit to Him. Be in subjection to Him. Submit to Him in everything, and God will get him. Amen. But if you don't submit to Him, you say, I want God to get my husband. Well, now you're going to get it, and then He can't discipline your husband like He needs to because you're not in submission to Him. All right, let's look at a couple examples. Numbers chapter 30, and this whole chapter deals with a vow. It deals with a lady giving a vow. Now, the first half of the chapter, the first few verses, is dealing with a daughter. It's dealing with a daughter giving a vow and dealing with a father. And then it goes to a wife. And we're going to read, there's 16 verses here. I'm going to kind of read through this, and I think we'll kind of see a little bit more about what we're talking about. All right, Numbers chapter 30, verse 1, and Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. So the Lord put this law, this rule into place. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, it ends with that right there when it comes to a man. One verse. If a man makes a vow and he promises something, he better keep it. And I don't find anywhere where he can get out of it. All right? There's no clause for him to get out of this thing. If he vows a vow, he better keep it. All right? And you say, what's a vow? I mean, it's any promise you make. Any promise you make before God, whether it's to marriage or to your faith promise or your work or whatever you're doing, any vow that you make, that you got to do it. All right? Now it goes straight to the women. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, if she still lives under her father's roof, and she binds herself with a vow. Verse number 4 says, and her father hear the vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. So if the daughter comes in, and she makes a vow, and her father knows about it, and he lets it stand, then it can stand. You say, what if he doesn't let it stand? What if he says, no, you can't do that? She says, wait a minute, I'm making a promise to God. And he says, no, you can't do it. Verse number 5. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. So what is that saying? If the father says, no, you can't do that. Well, I'm making a vow to the Lord. He says, no, you can't do that. Then she's forgiven of that vow and she's not supposed to do it. He said, well, I'm doing it for the Lord. If the father said not to do it, she don't do it. All right? Now, if she chooses to do it anyway, then God's going to deal with her. He said, what if it's doing the right thing? He's going to deal with her for not submitting. Right? In this case, she's not submitting to her father. All right, verse number 6. And if she had it all in husband, now we're dealing with a wife. Okay, now we're dealing with a wife. And if she had it all in husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Again, a wife says, I'm going to do this. An example of this, which I have seen before, not in this church, but the last church I pastored, was a wife came to me and said, I want to tithe to the church. I want to give tithes to the church. But my husband told me I'm not allowed to do it. What do I do? I said, don't give a penny. Don't give a penny. But we're supposed to tithe. I said, I know. God will get it out of your husband. God will deal with your husband about it. But you don't give if he told you not to. All right? And I know this is not popular at all, and there's preachers that will argue with me about it, but this is, I mean, we're seeing what the Bible says. But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. All right? So she's widowed or she's divorced. If she makes a vow, she's got to keep it. All right? And if she vowed in her husband's house and bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. All right? But if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. Brother Andrew, it's to the Lord. We're making a vow to the Lord about something. If you're married, if you're in a home, or you're a daughter in a home, or a wife in a home, you do whatever if the husband allows it, then you do it. If he doesn't, then you don't do it. And let God deal with him. And I said this when I was preaching to the men. Lord, help the man. He's not going to. But Lord, help the man that doesn't allow his wife to go to church. Lord, help the man that doesn't allow his wife to participate in tithes. You don't realize it. You think she's just giving away your money, but really, your home's being blessed because of it.
Amen.
I mean, you're a fool for not allowing your wife and children to go to church. For allowing them to participate in church. I mean, God's going to judge you for that, right? But she's protecting herself and her children by submitting to him. All right? And verse number 14. Okay? But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, so she makes a vow to the Lord, and then he says, okay, you can do that. And then he establishes all of her vows and all of her bonds which are upon her, he confirmeth them because he held his peace at her in the day he heard them. So he confirmed it. He said, yes, it's okay to do that. But if he shall any ways make them void after that, he hath heard them, then she shall bear the iniquity. Is that what it says? No. You say, what are you trying to say, brother? I'm saying that if you make a vow or anything, a lady in a home, and you make a vow to do something and your husband allows it and then comes back later and says, now you cannot go to church no more, you got to stop giving, what happens? She says, yes, sir. Good luck, buddy. Don't say that to your husband. But she says, yes, sir. And guess what? God's like, all right, I'm judging you because she didn't keep a vow.
Amen.
But she doesn't get the judgment. He does. He does it. So, but if you don't submit to your husband and you're not doing right, you're going to be the one to get it, not him. Man, what can I do to my... Just do right. What can I do for God to rain down wrath and judgment on my husband? Just submit to him. Amen. His conscience will be bothering him. Amen. But if you're a lady that says that I'm not going to submit to my husband until he does right, I wish God would just deal with him. Well, guess what? He did deal with him by giving him a mouthy woman. There's your judgment, sir. You get to listen to nagging all the time. Congratulations. Amen. You are the judgment. So what do? You submit and let God deal with him. And I know this is hard to hear sometimes, and it's hard, but the Bible talks about winning over your husband by having a meek and quiet spirit. We said last week that one of the worst things in the world that a man can hear when he gets home is nothing. So what do you mean? The silent treatment. Amen. When you know you did something to mess up or something's wrong and not right, and you say, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm praying for you. It just infuriates a man. He wants to hash it out and duke it out and get over with it. Amen? But she just says, no, I'm good. Amen? Meek and quiet spirit, and it'll put him under conviction in a hurry. Just do it with the right heart. Amen? Do it with the right motives. God will protect her. And I'm thankful that that God put all these things. You know, men, Jesus Christ is our authority. He's our protection. If I submit myself to Him and this book, if I submit myself to the authority of this Bible and to Jesus Christ, He is protecting me. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to have that protection. And so why is that husband is the protection in your home? And so we've got to be very, very careful. And I know I've heard illustrations, and when I've taught on this before, somebody will come up and say, well, what about if he asks her to do wrong? And I've got a biblical illustration for this that I don't know if we'll get to today, but a Bible illustration where a wife was told to do something wrong, and God protected her, and God punished him. So I've got a Bible illustration for that. And they say, well, you know, if anybody's ever told to do wrong. Now, the illustration that's given is, it was Ananias and Sapphira, I don't have this here in my notes, when they both lied about how much they would give. Amen. Okay, I had a preacher say, well, what about Ananias and Sapphira? God struck her dead too. Yeah, because she was just as wicked as he was.
Amen.
That had nothing to do with. I mean, yes, she was obeying her husband because she agreed with him. Amen. That's a different situation. If you're not right with God and you choose to sin with your husband, you say, well, my husband told me that I had to do this. Well, you're enjoying every minute of it. Amen. There's a difference there. And God struck her dead too, because they both lied about it, and they're both in agreement with it, and they were both sinning. It wasn't that she was telling what happened because her husband told her to, but she didn't agree with it. They were both sinning. They were both doing wrong. But illustrations that we have in the Bible where she maybe didn't agree with it, but she was just obeying her husband, though that illustration, we're going to get over it, whether tonight or next week, God protected her and God dealt with her husband. And so we see that illustration. All right, look, and here, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. There's one particular woman here in the Bible that is used as a primary example of a godly, obedient wife. She is given as a role model for wives today. Man, wouldn't that be, if God wrote a Bible, would He be able to write your name in there as a role model for wives today? This woman was. But this woman was told to do wrong, and she obeyed her husband. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, look at me in verse number 5. You there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, for after this manner. Now listen, back up in the previous verses. In verse 1, we're talking about a wife being in subjection to her own husband, that if any obey not the word, if they're backslidden or they're lost, God will deal with him through her conversation, through her life, through her testimony. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that exemplary wife. All right, in verse number 5, for after this manner in old times, the holy women also. So this woman we're talking of was a holy woman who trusted in God. All right, so she trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. That's the example that we have of this lady. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And so she is held up in Scripture as a role model for wives. The Bible says she was holy there. As holy women, is a daughter of Sarah who submitted completely to her husband. And we're going to look at, I don't know if we'll get there tonight, like I said, but we're going to look at her, how she obeyed her husband in everything. And we see that example there. You know, that word Sarah means princess. I'm married to a princess. Amen. Sarah means princess. Isn't it fitting that our anniversary was today? I got to say that on our anniversary. So she's a princess. You know, the men say that they're the king of their home. Well, you're the king. She's the queen of the home. Amen. She's the queen of that home. And a godly woman loves God, keeps the commandments, obeys the Bible, submits to her husband. That's what a godly woman does. She is in subjection to her husband. The Bible said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. In John 14:24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And so a godly woman that wants to love God is going to keep his commandments, is going to obey him. All right? And God will take care of her. God will take care of her. He'll take care of her home. All right? So we do exactly what God tells us to do. God, at that point, is responsible for the outcome. If we submit ourselves to our wives, to your husband, husbands to Christ, then God's responsible for the outcome, not us. Not us. That burden is lifted off of us. All right. I'm going to try to set this up real quick, if I can. We have an example here of a few of the things, the order of headship in the home. All right? And I got this chart out of this book here, and I thought it was a pretty good one. So, if a wife is lost or backslidden, now, I talked about Ananias and Sapphira a second ago. She was backslidden. She was in cahoots with her husband there about lying, about doing wrong. All right? And so, whenever you have a situation of a wife that's lost or backslidden, most of the time, here's what the family order looks like. You have the wife and the husband, and then maybe in some homes, God might be a part of it somehow, but if they're lost, you know, are backslidden on God, God's going to be down here somewhere in the bottom. And it's going to be the wife and then the husband. And that's the situation, all right? So, in that situation there, if God's going to bring judgment on them, it's not a whip, it's a wife. All right? And so, in that situation there, if God's going to deal with them for being lost and backslidden, who's he dealing with? Both of them, right? God's going to deal with both of them if they're lost and backslidden. You know, especially if they're saved, God's definitely going to deal with both of them if this is what their home looks like. We talked about the biblical order of the home being God, the husband, the wife, the children, the dog, the cat, and the fish. Which I'm going to change fish to mice because we've had mice in our house and the cats love chasing the mice. All right? And so there's that order. But if you got a backslidden wife and a backslidden husband and they're not living right and doing right, then they're both there. All right? And here's another scenario, which this is most of them. If they're lost or backslidden, you have a wife. Let my board not fall over. You got the husband. And then you got God. Most husbands are very submissive to their wives. All right? And so that right there is probably the average home. It's probably not that one. Right? I mean, he knows how to say yes, ma'am, and yes, I'll do that. I mean, all those things. He's got it down perfect. All right, so that's probably the average home. Now, God's still going to deal with both of them, right? Because he's not submitting to God like he's supposed to. This is a messed up home right here. All right, we're talking about a wife lost or backslidden. Okay, now let's say that the wife, you see, wife here. Here's another scenario. Then you got God. And you got a husband that is saved, and maybe he's right with God. All right, so he's right with God, and he's trying to do right, but the wife has lost her backslidden. Who's protecting him? God is. God's protecting him. And I realize that's not the order God wants for the home. It's not at all. But she, because she's either lost or backslidden, she is putting herself up there at the top in order for all that stuff that comes down, the judgment or whatever problems or whatever is going to fall on her. And he has God protecting him. Now, This scenario right here rarely works out. It's very rare. It's rare because most of the time, if the wife's not in church and she's not saved, either one or two things are going to happen. He's going to compromise everything and say, yes, ma'am, and go home. Or he'll do right and stay in church and she won't stay married to him. It's very rare to have a man that's in church and doing right and living right and her stay with him. It's very, very rare. I honestly don't know any examples of it. Every example I know of where the man tried to do right and live right ended in divorce. Every one of them. Okay? Because she just won't put up with it. Alright? And so that's the example there. And so we're talking about wives submitting to their husbands. So wife, if you're lost, you need to get saved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You need to get saved. But if you're backslidden, look what kind of position you're putting yourself and your home in. Because you know what's sad about this one? Like, say you do have a husband that's saved and trying to do right. Your children are falling somewhere in here. And then all of a sudden, your children are open for attack. And hopefully your husband's doing the best he can with them. But that's just, all these scenarios are not good. All right? Now, let's say that a woman has a lost or backslidden husband. Okay? All right, so the husband is lost or backslidden. I'm sorry, I'm trying to write crazy here on this board. All right, lost or backslidden husband. Okay? And then you have God, and that wife is submitting herself. Okay? Is submitting herself. It's supposed to be an umbrella. I can't draw an umbrella. All right? Is submitting herself to God. Let me see here. There we go. All right. Then you have the... All right. In this situation right here, you have a lost or backslidden husband. He's not submitting to God like he's supposed to, but she's submitting to her husband and submitting to God. By submitting to her husband, she's protected. You understand that? So now when God deals with that home, he's going to deal with the husband. He's going to deal with him about his home. She's protected. And so that's the protection that if your husband's not doing right, and he's not, maybe he's lost or he's backslid or he's not doing right. He might even show up at church every Sunday, but maybe he's not doing right. You just submit yourself to your husband and submit to God, and God will deal with him. Okay, God will deal with them. And guess what? She is protected. And guess who else is protected? Children are protected. Why? Because she submitted to her husband. All right, and then God can do that. All right, now, the most ideal setup for the home we have right up here. There. The husband submitted to God and he answers for everything in that home. He's still going to answer either way.
Yeah.
He's going to give an account for his home. He's going to give an account for how he leads his home, how they give, how they're faithful in church. He's going to give account for all that. Whether he's here or there, he's going to deal with it. Right? But this is the ideal situation. He's submitted to God. He's submitted to God's word. She's submitted to him. The children are submitted. And that right there. But either way, if he's not doing right, if he's lost or backslidden, or if he is doing right and he's serving God, doing what he's supposed to, either way, she's protected. You see the illustration there? All right? And so there's four possibilities given here that God gives to the home. All right? So the first one there, the wife and the husband will be out of the will of God if they are not, or if they are on equal ground. Have you ever met somebody that like a marriage, well, they say, well, you do it your way and I'll do it my way. We're on even ground. We're both going to have our own bank accounts. We're both going to have our own vehicles. You pay these bills, I'll pay these bills, and we're all on equal ground. Well, that's not biblical order. Is it not? I know this isn't popular, but I won't interfere with yours. You won't interfere with mine. All right? There's a lot of homes that are set up that way. You say, what's wrong with that home? There's no head. It's a two-headed monster. There's no head. There's no authority. The wife, even if she is saved, she has no protection from God over her. She has none at all. All right? And the second one there, the wife wanting to be the head of the home over her husband, of course, we know that's out of the will of God. And in doing that, neither one of them is subject to God. Right? Because he's not in the right position. He's supposed to be in either. All right? In the third illustration given there, the husband is trying to do right. All right? The third one over there, the husband's trying to do right. He's trying to be right with God, but he might have a bossy wife who always wants to be the leader of the home. She's out of the will of God. Therefore, she has no protection. She has no protection. All right? And then the bottom one there, the fourth one, the wife is right with God. Now, in the one scenario, she's right with God, but the husband's not. And the other one, she's right with God and the husband is, which is the ideal situation. Okay? And so, your home tonight, ladies, are in one of these categories. They're in one of them. And you say, what if I'm in the one where my husband's not right? He's either lost or backslidden. Make sure you're in the right place so that God can deal with them. And hopefully your prayer of God dealing with them is not to kill him, but for get him right with God. Amen. I know sometimes you want to pray God kill him. Amen. And you might have to do that. I don't know. But as long as it's in the will of God to pray that. But your prayer will be that he would get saved. Amen. How many of you have heard illustrations of women that have went to church for years and years and years and their husband didn't come? He might have been lost or backslidden and he wasn't in church. And years later, he finally came to the door and got saved. And his wife was just faithful to pray for him and faithful to do right and faithful to submit. Man, what a testimony. That's what 1 Peter is talking about when it mentions those things. And so we see that there. All right. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You live right and do right, God will work it out. God will deal with him. And like I said earlier, I would hate to be the man that stood in the way of God blessing my family. I wouldn't want to put myself above God, amen, and have that judgment in our home and that judgment in my family. And God will deal with him. He'll deal with them every time. Okay? So we have the example given of Sarah in the Bible. Now, I'm going to stop tonight, but next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at this example in detail of Sarah and what he was asked to do. There's a lot of godly women in the Bible. The Bible talks about Hannah and Esther and Priscilla and Aquila, and there's others that mentions all these great women of the Old Testament that were good examples, but God used this woman named Sarah. And so next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at her a little closer and look at her situation and how she dealt with it at a time when her husband wasn't doing right.